We have the second segment of prayers discussion. This is just a heads up for you. The ahkam of prayers are several thousand. So don't consider what we discussed here. That's it. We have so much more to be said. And of course, it's obvious that all those thousands of rulings cannot be summarized in 6 hours or 7 hours. That's very obvious. So you have to learn more. So don't consider this much to be sufficient for the prayers. This is just a summary of the mainstream and most important things. So there are a lot more remaining about the prayers which we need to also pay attention to those things. And this is also another point to remember that in Darz al-Faraj, when you study the Hawza, you know, as the you do the Darz al-Faraj, you go and study from a mujtahid. We call Darz al-Faraj to be Kharij because it is Kharij al-Kitab. It is out of the book. It's nothing to do with the book. It's not related to any book. It's not from a book. So basically, you go and learn directly from mujtahid, and he teaches you from his own ijtihad, from his own expertise, the way he has extracted the teachings and rulings of the Sharia directly from the sources of ijtihad, like Quran and Hadith, etc. So he teaches you how he did himself. So when you go and study the highest level, which is the Sufaraj, then you will realize that this chapter we have, you know, 200 plus chapters in our Islamic jurisprudence, and Salat is just one of those 200 plus chapters. So this chapter takes about 9 years roughly. It differs from a mujtahid to mujtahid. Some take it longer, some take it lesser. But that's a rough estimate of 9 years of education on the chapter of prayers only to complete the whole chapter. So don't consider what we are discussing that this is the only thing that we need to learn about prayers. There's a lot more need to be learned. We have the aqsam al-salat, that means the kind of prayers. There are 6 kinds of prayers which are wajib in Islam. Like I said in the beginning, we have a whole list of mustahab and recommended prayers, and we are not talking about mustahab prayers in this presentation. That's not the focus of our discussion. The focus of our discussion is the wajib prayers only. And of course, in the wajib prayers, specifically, the first one only, which we call Yawmiyyah, that is the 5 times prayers that we pray every day. So we are basically focusing on this one only, because we cannot cover the rest of them, of those prayers which are wajib. But this is just a quick list for you to remember, that we have 6 wajib prayers. Some make it 7 or make the count 8, but that's the most common count amongst our fuqaha. You know, there may be people who may be counting it in a different way and change the number from 6 to 7 or 8. Don't get confused. This is the most commonly accepted count among our fuqaha. And they classify the 6th one to be in one category. So the first one is Yawmiyyah, that is the 5 times prayers that we pray every day. You know, the Fajr and Zuhr and Asr and Maghrib and Isha. These 5 prayers are of the month that we call Yawmiyyah. And then we have the Qada al-Walid, that means the Qada prayers of your father. If he passes away and he did not pray himself, it would be wajib on the eldest son to pray the Qada prayers of his father. and you know, it's not margin, of course, on the LS dollar, like it's not margin on the middle son or the younger son or the middle daughter or the younger daughter. So it's not margin on the daughters at all. If they want to do, they can do it and the prayers will be done correctly. But it's not wajib on them to do it. What is wajib is on the eldest son only. And even if the eldest son is not doing it, it's still not wajib on the rest to do it. If you do it, it's very good. Your father will get rid of all those azab that he may have, God forbid, in the grave, possibly, for not praying intentionally, you know, whatever. So, but basically, it is the responsibility of the eldest son. That's the bottom line. And the third category of the wajib prayers is Salatul Ayat. Ayat is the plural of ayat. The same word we use for the ayat of Quran. Ayat in Arabic means a sign. Like we say Ayatullah. This is the terminology in our Hausa. The scholars have assigned this term to a mujtahid. Somebody who is a faqih or a mujtahid is called Ayatullah. So taqleed is haram on him. He cannot follow anybody else. He has to follow his own opinion because he is expert himself. So Ayatullah is a term that is assigned to a mujtahid. Ayat means sign. Ayatullah means sign of God. Ayat is the plural. That means the prayers of the signs. So when certain signs of Allah appear, we have to pray the Salatul Ayat, the prayers of the signs. Like, you know, when the scary winds are blowing in the form of storms and, you know, cyclones, the sky becomes reddish and blackish in color because of that, and the earthquake, and the lunar and solar eclipse, etc. So these are the, at those occasions we have to pray Salatul Ayat, which is also wajib on us. We keep on praying Salatul Ayat, you know, every now and then. So you guys must be familiar already, because we do have the lunar eclipse at east and the solar eclipse every now and then. So the next one, the fourth one, is Salatul Tawaf. Salatul Tawaf, as it is obvious from its name, is the prayers of the rotation. Tawaf means rotation of the Holy Kaaba. So, whenever you go to visit the Holy Kaaba, which is very much sawab and reward in Islam, if you just go and visit the Holy Kaaba and have a look at Kaaba, you're doing nothing, you're just staring at Kaaba. You're doing ibadat and worship of Allah. Because the Holy Prophet has said, "An-nazaru ila al-Ka'bah ibadatun." Looking at Ka'bah is ibadat and worship of Allah. So if you do nothing and go to that mosque, which we call Al-Masjid al-Haram, the mosque which is around the Holy Ka'bah, you know, and then here is the you know, Safa and Marwa thing. So here is the Holy Kaaba, located in the middle of the mosque. And this mosque is what we call Masjid al-Haram. Haram means something which has hurmat and respect. So it's a dignified mosque. There is the most dignified mosque on the planet. So the Kaaba is located in this mosque. So basically this mosque is called Masjid al-Haram. The name of the mosque is Masjid al-Haram. When you go inside the mosque, and the first thing you're supposed to do, Islam says, whenever you enter into a mosque, it is mustahab to pray two rakats of prayers. When you enter into any mosque, pray two rakats of prayers, which is mustahab, and we call it Salatul Hadiyat al-Masjid. This is the prayers that we are gifting to the mosque. When you enter the mosque, Hadiya means a gift. So you are gifting two rakats of prayers, qurbatan min Allah. This is the respect of the masjid. For every masjid when we enter, it is mustahab and recommended that you pray two rakats of prayers. That's the respect of the mosque. And so when you enter into Holy Kaaba, this Masjid al-Haram of Holy Kaaba, what we do is that, you know, Prophet has said in the hadith that As-Salatu bil Bayti, Tawafun, that's the hadith of the Holy Prophet, As-Salatu bil Bayti. At-tawafu bil bayt salat. At-tawafu bil bayt salat. That means rotation. Rotation around the Kaaba is the prayers. So when Prophet has considered the rotation as the prayers, so tawaf itself is an ibadah. So when we enter into the mosque, we whether you are doing Hajj, you are doing Umrah, or you are not doing none of those, you just want to see the Kaaba. As soon as you enter the Masjid, Masjid al-Haram, it is recommended for you that you are not doing anything else. Before you do anything else, go and do seven rotations around Kaaba. That's the first thing. And whenever you do the seven rotations around Kaaba, that's the corner where the Hajar al-Aswad is located. We rotate, you know, counterclockwise seven times from the black stone, starting from black stone, ending at the black stone. That's first one rotation. You do seven, and when you are done on this corner, on this side, in front of the door of Kaaba, that's the Maqam of Ibrahim, and here is where you have to pray your two rakats of prayers after the rotation. This is what we are talking about when we say the Salatul Tawaf. So, namaz and prayers of the rotation. So you have to, when you do the rotations of Kaaba, whether it's wajib on you in the Hajj or it is mustahab on you just visiting the Kaaba, in both the cases, you have to do the rotation and you have to, of course in mustahab it's not wajib, but it's mustahab. And then after tawaf and rotation, you have to pray two rakats of prayers, which is called Salatul Tawaf. And then the fifth one is Salatul Mayyit, the prayers on the corpse. Whenever a Muslim person passes away, we do all those funeral services for him or her, you know, ghusl, tafseel of the mayyit and tahneet, providing hudud, and of course, takfeem of the mayyit, providing the coffin, wrapping around him the cloth, two pieces of cloth, three pieces of cloth in the Islamic way. And of course, after that, we bury him. So, Salatul Mayyit, which is done after the ghusl, after washing the body, and after the wudu' of the Mayyit, and after the kafan, takfeen of the Mayyit, that is the time of Salatul Mayyit, which is wajib to be recited on every Muslim person's dead body. You cannot read the Salatul Mayyit on a non-Muslim. It's not permissible. This is wajib. Salatul Mayyit is wajib. And we will learn in the classification of wajib, what sort of wajib is this. And then at the end, the sixth category is the Salatul Nazr, and Salatul Ahd, and Salatul Qasam. So Nazr in Islam has a special Arabic formula. Whenever you want to do a Nazr, you cannot just say, Maine Nazr maan li ke main aisa karunga. Ki Nazr maan lena koi Islamic Nazr nahi hai. There is a special Islamic Arabic formula that you have to recite exactly in the Arabic language or its translation in any other language. But you have to recite the formula, either in Arabic or its exact translation, in order for the nazar to be Islamically binding on you. If you just say, Maine matlab nazar maan li, ye koi Islami nazar nahi hai, and neither it's obliging on you to fulfill it. So we are talking about the Islamic nazar. When you take the Arabic formula or its exact translation in your language, then lillahi alayya an af'ala kaza. Allah ke liye mere upar lazim hai ki main aisa aisa karun. Agar aisa aisa ho jaye, agar mere bacche ko shifa mil jaye, to Allah ke liye mere upar lazim hai ki main mazalan 5 shaheedon ki bewaon ki madad karunga. For instance, so ab ye, this is called the Islamic way of doing the nazar. Lillahi alayya. For the sake of Allah, it's incumbent upon me to do this and this and this. If Allah Islam does this and this and this to me. So this, the siha and the Arabic formula for nazar has to be recited in order for the salat of nazar to become wajib on us. Otherwise, if you just say many mannat maan li, this is not Islamic nazar. So Salatul Ahad, likewise in Arabic formula or its translations, or likewise Salatul Qasam, if you swear on Allah or one of the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, Wallahi, Billahi, Tallahi, Warrahmani, whatever, you swear with one of the names of Allah, then this is an Islamic and legal qasam and swearing. So when you swear in an Islamic and legal, Islamically legal way, then it becomes binding. So all of these three, if you don't fulfill after doing it, then you have a penalty to pay. So but that's not our discussion to enter into all those penalties. We'll go to a different tangent. So that's not our discussion. So bottom line is that the prayers may become wajib if you have done the Islamic way of doing the nazar or Islamic way of ahad, covenant, or Islamic way of swearing, then I will pray two rakats of prayers if this and this and this Allah does such and such thing with towards me, you know. Then it becomes binding on us and it will be wajib. We are talking about the Yawmiyah prayers, only the first category. And the Yawmiyah is, of course, the wajib is 17 rakats. We have these Nawafil, Nafila prayers, which are Mustahab, attached to the wajib. Why it is attached? It is attached in several ways. First, let me describe that the wajib prayers are 17 in total. 2 rakats of Fajr prayers, 4 rakats of Dhuhr, plus 4 rakats of Asr, plus 4 rakats of Maghrib, and 3 rakats of Maghrib, and 4 rakats of Isha. So this is the total 17 rakats of wajib prayers that we have, that we pray 5 times a day. So this is the first time, and this is the second, and this is the third one. So, the Nafila and the Mustahab prayers, which are connected with these, are 34 in total. 2 rakats we pray, just like the Fajr prayers, we pray 2 rakats of Nafila prayers before the Fajr, which is Mustahab. 8 rakats we pray, 2 rakats, you know, just like you pray the Fajr. Similarly, 2 rakats, total should be 8 rakats. This is what we pray before the Dhuhr, which is Mustahab. If you want, you can pray. If you don't, you know, that's not haram. So, but it's mustahab. And likewise, 8 rakats before Asr, and 3 rakats we pray after the Maghrib prayers, and 2 rakats of that we pray after the Isha prayers in the sitting position. And if somebody wants to pray this rakat, this prayers, in the standing position, then he has to pray 1 rakat, because 1 rakat, if you want to pray in a sitting, it becomes 2. So the reason why we pray 2, actually it is 1 rakat nafila after Isha. We pray 2 rakats because we are praying it in the sitting position, which is more beloved to in the eyes of Allah. That's why we pray this one in the sitting position. But actually it is a 1 rakat prayers. In its original form, we are praying it too because we are doing it in a sitting position. And then we have the 11 rakats of Salatul Layl, which is the most superior prayers in Islam. Namaz Shab, Salatul Layl, the night prayers, which is 11 rakats. We do it 8 rakats, we do it 2 rakats, just like the Fajr, up till 8. That means you pray 2 rakats. You do the shabbat and salam and you are done, then you stand up again and do the next 2 rakats. Likewise, you do 8. And after you are done with the 8, then you are remaining with the next 3. The next 3 rakats, how do you do it? You do another 2 rakats, just like the Fajr, another 2 rakats. But, you know, and then you have you know, we don't have the hunut in that. And in the 11th rakat, 11th one is just one rakat of prayers that we do it at the end, which we call Salatul Witr. And that one rakat has a hunut where we pray for 40 moments. Very, very much recommended. So this is the 11 rakats of Namaz al-Shab, Salatul Layl. So basically these are some of the most important mustahab prayers. If you allow me, I'll take questions after this session. At the end.
This Maghrib class is 3 or 4?
This is 4. Oh yeah, it's my mistake. This is 4 rakats. Thank you. This is my mistake. Yeah, I just copied it from there. It's 4 rakats. 4 rakats after the Maghrib. Thank you for pointing out. So 4 rakats of prayers that we pray, 2 rakats and 2 rakats, you know, like Fajr, after the Maghrib. So it's 4 rakats after the Maghrib. So it's 17 rakats which are wajib, and the benefit of nafila prayers is that if you have any naqs or deficiency in your wajib prayers, your nafila always compensates for your wajib. So basically, if you did your nafila, then you make your wajib prayers more likely to be perfected and accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshaAllah. So, nafila prayers are, of course, it's mustahab to do that. Sometimes if we have, because of some reasons, we may not pray. If there's a justifiable reason, that's okay. You know, Prophet used to even sometimes pray his wajib prayers really fast. You know, we have known our Maharaj, our great scholars, doing the Jamaat, and sometimes they read it very fast, sometimes they leave their nafila prayers for the sake of the convenience of the people. So when you are leading a Jamaat, there are a whole bunch of people praying behind you, and people have different things to do, and people have to rush back to their jobs, whatever, for the convenience of the people, you know. I remember, you know, Ayatullah al-Husna al-Marashi Najafi rahmatullah alayhi, he used to lead the prayers for 40 plus years in the Haram of Hazrat Masuma, and sometimes when he was done with the Maghrib prayers, it started raining. It started drizzling. And as soon as it started drizzling, he didn't pray his nafila. He just, you know, he just stood up quickly and he started his Isha. He left the mustahab things, and he started the Isha prayers, and everybody prayed behind him. And by the time he was done with Isha, it started to rain fast, and everybody left. So that's the way our Maharaja do. That's the seerat, that's the teaching of the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt, to take care of the convenience of the people. Don't do something which is, just take one side of the ruling and forget the rest of the teaching of the Ahlul Bayt. So Islam is a very comprehensive religion, keeping into consideration every aspect of the social, of the society. Yeah, Prophet was praying, leading the Jamaat, and all of a sudden in the middle, Prophet started to pray fast. And when he was done, one of the Ashab and companions objected to the Holy Prophet, Ya Rasulullah, you are praying so fast. You are Khatamul Mursaleen, you know, you are the seal of the messengers. Such a great person, the greatest personality. And Prophet said to him that, Ama tasma'u surafas sabeel. Don't you listen to the voice of the baby? There was a baby crying there. So basically, why the Prophet prayed fast? Because there was a baby crying. Why was the baby crying? Because obviously, his mother or her mother was praying in Jamaat behind the Holy Prophet. So if the Prophet continued to pray in the same length and detail and in the same speed which was normal for him, it would have engaged the mother who is praying behind the Holy Prophet in Jamaat, and she would be away from her baby for further longer time.
So for the sake of the cry of one baby, the Khatam al-Mursaleen has shortened his prayers and made it faster. So Islam is not just one-sided that you take one. There are some people like, they are silly. You know, you tell them one thing, they just take that one teaching and they forget the rest of the things. And then they start objecting on, you know, the scholars. Then why don't you do that? Why do you do that? Well, you have just learned one aspect of the rulings of Islam, and there's a whole bunch of other aspects that are still remaining for you to learn. So don't start objecting by learning just a little bit. So there's a whole wider panoramic picture to the thing before you can start objecting. So the Mustahab prayers compensate for our wajib if the wajib have a defect. One of the benefits of Mustahab prayers is that it always compensates. And Mustahab prayers are also considered to be better than the wajib because of the simple fact that you are not obliged. You are doing something more than what you were asked to do. So, because you are doing more than what you are asked to do, so this gives you more nuraniyat. This gives you more closeness towards Allah. Now you are paying more attention towards God. For the wajib prayers, not a big deal. You were supposed to do that anyway. You had no other option for your success. You know, my teacher, Ayatollah Sheikh Jawad Tabrizi, Rahmatullah Alayhi, he just passed away a few months ago. He was saying in his lesson that even if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave no reward to us on the Day of Judgment and didn't punish us for any sin on the Day of Judgment, still it is wajib on us to behave and take into consideration the wajibs and harams of the Sharia. Why? Because the wajibs and harams are not for the benefit of Allah. Is He benefiting out of our prayers, our fasting, our hajj, our khums, our beard, our zakat, our amr bil ma'ruf, our nahi bil munkar, and so on and so forth? No. There's no benefit. Allah doesn't stand in need of nothing. The whole universe denies the existence of Allah, He will still remain the Creator. Nobody can snatch away anything from that control of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah doesn't stand in need of us. It's we that stand in need of His teachings in order for us to gain our success. So He is not obliged to give us any reward. Why should He reward? If you do, you are the one who are benefiting. If you don't and you misbehave, you are the one who are messing up with your own spirituality. Why should He give you the reward? And then my teacher said, but Allah is still going to give us the reward. Why? Because of the fact that He has promised us to give the reward. وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُعْلِفُ الْمِعَادِ. And Allah never breaches His promises. Never breaches His promise. So the point is that the reason why Allah will give us the reward for our behaviors, our good deeds, is because that's what He has promised. Otherwise, if He had no promise, He had no commitment, He is not obliged to do anything for us. He is not benefiting from anything that we do. We are doing it for our own selves. The benefit is just back to us, not to Allah. So, and the most superior prayers is, of course, the Namaz Ashab, Salatul Layl, 11 rakats. There's the most superior prayers among the list of the Mustahab prayers that we have. This is a huge list, like I said in the beginning of my presentation. And Prophet has also said in this hadith that 2 rakats in the middle of the night are most beloved in my eyes in the whole world. And all what is in it. You know, it's not just $1 million that somebody can raise the price and say, well, okay, I'm going to pay you $2 million, you don't pray. Don't pray 2 rakats of prayers, I'll pay you $2 million. It's not a matter of 1 million and 2 million. Prophet is saying to the whole world and all what is in it. 2 rakats of your mustahab, 2 rakats of your prayers is more than the whole world and all what is in it. So nobody can
fix a price. Nothing can parallel the prayers. Nothing can parallel the prayers. It's because we don't understand, we don't comprehend, we don't realize. If we realize, we will never compromise anything for the prayer. It's important to understand the wajib and the mustahab before we move forward. What is the technical definition of a wajib in our fiqh, in our Islamic jurisprudence? And what is the technical definition, ta'rif al-istilahi, the technical definition of mustahab in our fiqh? A wajib is, these are ahkam al-tahdidiyyah. We call them al-ahkam al-takliqiyyah. Ahkam al-takliqiyyah are five: wajib and mustahab and makruh and haram and mubah. These five are called al-ahkam al-takliqiyyah. So we are just talking about two among the five of the ahkam al-takliqiyyah. Wajib means an act which has maslahatun shadida. It has severe maslahat and benefit for the humans. Because of the fact that there is a severe, extensive, huge amount of benefit hidden behind this, that's the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has obliged us to do it. Not that he is going to get any benefit out of it. We are going to get the huge benefit hidden behind it. You may understand, you may not understand, you may never understand. Understanding or not understanding of ignorant people like us is irrelevant. There is a huge benefit, period. Because of the huge benefit, maslahatun shadida, how we call it, there's a huge benefit hidden behind that thing. That's the reason why Allah obliges us not to miss this huge benefit. If you don't, you're going to miss the huge benefit. So again, look at how loving Allah is towards us, that He is trying for us not to lose the benefit. So all those things, when He created us in a way that human has two components, a soul and a body, He is informing us also about everything which has huge benefit for the soul, and informing us about everything which has a huge harm for the soul, that Allah made it haram, and informing us about those things which has lesser of the benefit, but there is a benefit, and those things are categorized as mustahab. It has a benefit, but not as huge. So He's informing us about all those things so that we protect our spirituality. The ruling says you must do it, and if you do, you are also rewarded. I already explained, Allah is not obliged to reward us. He's going to reward us certainly because He promised, but otherwise He's not obliged. He's not going to get any benefit out of it. We are benefiting. So He is not obliged of doing anything for us. If you don't, you are punished. So you are leaving a wajib. Leaving a wajib has a punishment. Leaving a wajib is haram in Islam. Let's remember, leaving any wajib is haram in Islam. Let's suppose somebody. It's wajib to fast in the month of Ramadan. Somebody doesn't fast knowingly and intentionally. He could have, but he didn't. But this guy did a haram. So, as soon as we do a haram, our soul gets burnt. We didn't realize, that's a different story, because of those sakarat, the drunkenness condition, how the Quran calls the drunkenness condition. Some people are in the drunkenness situation. Just like a drunk person doesn't realize what's going on to him, how you talk to him, how does he talk back to you, what does he do, he doesn't have no idea what he's doing because he's drunk. So Quran calls the situation of some people, they are in sakarat. What a beautiful statement of Quran. Some people are in drunkenness situation. So they don't realize what they're doing, how they are messing up with their souls. They don't know. Now, drunkenness can be of different forms. Some people have this huge love affair with dunya, hubba dunya. Some
people have huge love affairs
with money. Love of money. So the drunkenness caused because of the love of money. The drunkenness caused for this guy is because of the love of dunya, for the love of fame,
hubbul shuhrat,
for the sake of mansab and jaah,
hubbul jaah.
The guy loves positions. He's not going to call the shots. If he's not on the job, on the position, he's not going to work. He will even end up showing in the Islamic Center. If you fire him from a position, he will not come anymore.
Love of positions.
There's another form of drunkenness. Different kinds of drunkenness for different people. So, the drunkenness causes us not to realize, although our soul gets burned straight away, when we are punished, means we are punished straight away. We fail to realize the soul gets burned straight away at the time we did the sin, not on the day of judgment only. We would discover on the day of judgment that our souls were already burned. We will discover it because now that we enter into the day of judgment, which has more than 100 names in Islam, and one of those 100 plus names is Yawmul Zuhur.
The day when the realities would appear.
So it would appear on us that we had burned back then, that we did not realize.
So don't just interpret the rewards and punishment about day of judgment only. That's a wrong way of interpreting the teachings of Ahlul Bayt.
Al-Mustahab means an act with maslahatun ghayra shadeedah.
Maslahat, which is lesser severe. That means lesser in the importance level. If it was higher in importance level, it would have made wajib. But it's lesser in its importance level. So Allah made it mustahab. That's the justice of Allah. And He informed us, that's His blessing and ni'mat through sending prophets and messengers and books. And the sharia. And we had no way whether you earn 10 degrees from Harvard, or 100 degrees from Oxford, or 1,000 degrees from Sorbonne, Paris, or 1,000,000 degrees from Berkeley.
You have no access to the teachings of Ilmul Ghayb. So there is no way a person, how much intellectual a person may consider himself to be, is irrelevant, because we are talking about teachings that are taught in Harvard and Berkeley or Sorbonne or Cambridge or Oxford. We are talking about teachings which came from the Lawh al-Mahfuz, the divine slate, which no human has any access to the contents of divine slate. That's the reason why we stand in need of the prophets. Because that's the reason why we stand in need of the Ahlul Bayt, the Imams. They have access to the divine slate 24/7, 365. They can directly read what is written there and tell you from the teachings of the world of the unseen, the Alamul Ghayb.
So these are the teachings of the world of the unseen that benefits our soul. So mustahab is defined as an act with having a maslahat, but it is of lesser importance. So it's not wajib, but you got to do it. If you do it, you're not obliged, but if you do it, you get the reward. If you don't, you don't get a reward, you're just deprived of the... If you don't, you don't get punished, but you just be deprived of the reward.